The Jason and Alexis podcast is brought to you by our friends at Sears Imported Autos, serving four generations of happy, returning customers.
Sears Imported Autos is just 10 minutes west of downtown on 394 in Minnetonka. More information at searsimports.com.
Hey, Jace, did I see you drive by my house in a new car?
You sure did there, Goober. I waved to you in your front lawn.
Nice. I didn't know you were getting a new one. Where did you go, Jason?
I went to Sears Imported Autos, and I really wasn't planning on getting a new car. But I went online, I saw a car, I went in there, and Sue, I love Sue, her service was amazing, and it really was one of those examples of customer service makes a difference. And it's not a surprise to me. They've been in business for over 55 years, serving not one, not two, not three, four Lex and Dawn, four generations of happy customers, and now I'm one of them. They were named best of the best for Mercedes for 2018 and 2019. I mean, it is really where, as they say, quality meets affordability. The selection of their certified pre-owned vehicles will help you find like a dream car at the price you want. So if you're going to get a car, Dawn or Lex, Sears Imported Autos. Where are they again, Lex?
Sears Imported Autos is just 10 minutes west of downtown on 394 in Minnetonka.
More information at searsimports.com.
And when you walk into Sears Imported Autos, make sure you say you heard about them from Jace.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Jason and Alexis in the Morning, live on MyTalk 107.1 and live streaming all over the planet at MyTalk107.1.com and on our MyTalk app. I'm Jason Matheson, and joining me every single day when she's not threatening to leave me to work on her patent for toenail clippers for seniors, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Alexis Thompson.
Oh, it's at the end of a cane. Good morning, Fluffy.
Good morning, Bunny.
Good morning, Dawn McLean.
Good morning, and good morning to Kenny.
Good morning.
Good morning. You sounded like you were going to say one more thing. And yeah. Good morning to all of you on this Monday. Yeah, February 15th, 2021. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the day. Welcome to your life. Welcome to a brand new week. Welcome to 77 Below Zero. Welcome to National Gumball Drop Day. Gumdrop Day. Welcome to National Hippo Day. Welcome to National I Want Butterscotch Day. Welcome to National Singles Awareness Day. Welcome to President's Day. Welcome to Susan B. Anthony Day, and welcome to your very first sip of delicious coffee.
This is, excuse me, a damn fine cup of coffee.
How the hell's your coffee? Your cup of coffee. How the hell's your coffee? Your cup of coffee.
Alexis Thompson, how the hell is your coffee?
Oh, guys, I'm still working through a bag of Ethiopian coffee.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to buy 12 more bags because this is championship.
It's quality.
Oh, yeah.
It's quality. Dawn McLean, welcome back. We missed you, my darling. And how was your tea this morning?
My tea is exuberant, enthusiastic, easygoing, and diligent.
Perfect. Kinder Mattel?
I'm drinking the 32 Below blend, and it tastes a tad bit crisp.
Mine is frigid, mine is chilly. Mine is compact. Mine is frozen. Cheers. Mm. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. Mm. Cheers.
Yeah, my car said something that I don't think it's said before. 17 below zero. I was like, ooh.
Feels like 200 below.
Yeah. But, you know, it is the thing. I got out of my car today because I park in a garage, and I got out here at work. And before I opened my door, I thought, oh, this is going to feel substantially different than, like, say, Friday. But I have to tell you, and I maybe not to other people, but to me, it all feels the same. I didn't. Yeah. When you get to a certain point.
Oh, yeah. Just a general numbing.
Wind chill doesn't make any difference unless the temperature is below zero.
Uh-huh.
And then if there's a slight breeze, that's when I feel the wind chill. Because you're right, 5 below and 20 below to me seems the same.
It's the same. Yeah.
Yeah, I told my mom the same thing because she was texting me about it. And I'm like, honestly, once it gets past, like, into single digits, I can't tell the difference between 8 degrees and negative 10.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Still cold. Just cold.
Yes.
That's all you're feeling.
But Jason, what it does to your brain is a whole different deal, because it was 30 below on Saturday morning in my truck. And, you know, that's fine, whatever. And then this morning, I started it up at 4:30. It was 25 below, and I was happy. It's like, well, at least it's not 30 below. But then as I'm driving to town, it hit 32 below.
Oh, my goodness. Now I'm depressed.
Now
I'm sorry. Depressed. Well, you know, Lex knows. I think Dawn knows. Some My Talkers know. Kenny may not know what I always think about. When it's this cold outside, I think about the poor people in the icy waters of the Atlantic. I think of the Titanic survivors every time. Every time I have a winter morning like this, I think of all of those survivors in the little boats.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I always do. Always, always, always.
Oh,
I think
Never let's go.
No, I think... Bitch, I'm cold. Can you imagine how they were? You know, that's literally what runs in my mind.
How did anyone live?
Yeah. Oof. My subconscious literally talks like that. Bitch, I know you're cold, but how about everybody else? Yeah. But I know. Oh, anyway, I need to rewatch that. I haven't watched Titanic in a while. But speaking of that, happy belated Valentine's Day, everybody. Happy belated Valentine's Day, Dawn and Alexis and Kenny.
Cheers.
And Alexis... got me a Valentine's present this year, Dawn and Kenny. I don't know if you guys know that, but Lex gave me a gift for Valentine's Day. What? And yeah, thank you for asking. So let me tell you a little story. And it goes like this. Alexis is not my friend anymore. And this is why. Yeah, Dawn, this is why. Yeah, Dawn. So yesterday... maybe like a lot of you, because it was cold outside, Colin, my husband and I were kind of just peddling, and we couldn't land on a plan. Do we go out and get some food? Do we just stay in? If we stay in, then it's the question of what to watch. Anyway, and we sat basically in silence, wasting 45 minutes trying to figure out, what to do. What to have for lunch. So at the end of the 45 minutes, both of us were on Instagram, and Colin looks at me and he goes, did you see Alexis's? And I start laughing. I go, oh my goodness, we're looking at the same picture. And we're like, we're so funny. And I said, yeah. And I look at Alexis's Instagram and I'm like, oh my goodness. And Colin said, oh, she has the idea, because Alexis and Angel were snuggled with each other on their couch with their burrito comforter, eating giant burritos. So I'm like, and Colin goes, oh, that's it, Jace. Let's go to Alexis's burrito place. Let's go. This is the time. This is the day. Finally, after all these years, that's what we'll do. I'll drive. So I got ready to call Alexis to laugh that she, you know, inspired us to finally get off the couch. And as I'm talking to Alexis, I hear Colin in the background going, oh, wait, it's closed. It's closed. And I went, what? She did it again. She did it again. She did it again.
But it's
hashtag burrito tease. Hashtag burrito tease.
Oh, God.
No burrito for you.
So I call Lex and I go, damn you, woman. I said, here you are. You just posted this burrito photo. You inspired us to go to your La Tapatio place.
New location in Roseville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need Nicolas Cage and the National Treasure team to find it. And I said, and she's, oh, I posted that last night. That's from last night. Well, why didn't you post it last night?
Because we were eating burritos. And then the next day I was like, oh, that's fun. Happy Valentine's Day. I thought they were open on Sundays. I think that's a new day of closure.
I think it is.
During pandemic times, because usually it's just Mondays.
I know. So Colin,
and no burrito for you today either.
No, I know. And Colin was so deflated because he got, you know how you mentally, and Dawn, you and I talked
about
this. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when, at this age, we don't have a lot to look forward to.
No, not at all. So Colin mentally was like, oh my goodness, that sounds so good. And I go, oh, Colin, we have landed on something we can both agree on. And then it's closed. Then it's closed. And I'm like, ugh, she's a burrito tease again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. For the second time, she's led us astray with her burrito teasing. So, I called her and let her have it. And,
whoopsies.
And did you actually get, were those burritos from La Tapatia?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of course. Okay, of course.
Uh-huh. Yes. We got them Saturday. And the best is when a burrito just shows up.
What do you mean?
Angel was like, I'm bringing dinner
house,
home.
Kenny.
Oh, okay.
And then he pulls out the bag, the Tapatia bag, and when it's just right there. It's one thing of thinking about it and going to get it. That's a different kind of satisfaction. But it's when it's right there and ready for you just to bite into it. Oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't know such things.
It's a great Valentine right there.
I wouldn't know such joy and pleasure.
Oh, Lord.
I was robbed of that pleasure yesterday.
Disappointed. So what did you eat again?
What did you end up having?
Dirt. From a pot, from an old potted plant outside. We didn't have anything else. So
Lex, if you were Jason's true friend on Tuesday, tomorrow, you would just randomly show up at his door with
Kenny,
a bag.
She hasn't left her house in years. She's not leaving.
She's not your true friend, Jason. That's
just it is. I'll just have one sent over there.
Thank you, Lex.
That would be a nice thing. You're right, Kenny.
Mm-hmm. More so for
Let
Colin.
Me think about that.
He was so crestfallen. Colin was so bummed. 6:12. When we come back, everybody, macaroons, the disaster. Next. Warning, here comes a cliche, ladies. Your smile is your calling card to the world.
Yeah, even though people can't see our smiles on the radio.
Well, they can sense we're smiling even during your dad jokes, Lex.
Dawn, I don't know if I would categorize that post-joke look as smiling.
Rude!
All jokes aside, your smile is so important, and if you don't like yours for whatever reason, it can be debilitating. It can really affect the quality of your life. And that's why we're so proud to represent Dr. Amy Hughes at Hughes Dental. Dr. Amy has her fantastic virtual smile consults. Here's how it works. You email Dr. Amy with your smile concerns. You can even upload a pic at hughes-dental.com. And Dr. Amy will send you back a private video message detailing an action plan. And here's one of the best things. There's no pressure to buy. She doesn't believe in that stuff. This is your year to change your smile. And yes, here's another cliche, change your life.
And she's the best at cosmetic dentistry. Don't you have a fun nickname for Dr. Amy, Jace?
I sure do. The Yoda of cosmetic dentistry.
Trust her, we do.
Very good Yoda there, Dawn. Contact Dr. Amy and take advantage of her virtual smile consults at hughes-dental.com. And don't forget, Dr. Amy can be your regular dentist too. She's my regular dentist. Again, that's hughes-dental.com.
Say hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
Jason and Alexis, baby, in the morning. Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? Our federally mandated cooking segment or food segment, whatever you want. What we cook to. Okay, Dawn, on the sheet today, you wrote macaroons, disaster, and then redemption. I made up redemption, but what happened? What happened, as Alexis would say?
Well, I had a baking class with Bake with a Legend, former Great British Bake Off stars. It's a Zoom class that you can take. You can find links if you want to do those on my Instagram, Dawn at Dark, and see the pictures of my weird-shaped, weird-colored macarons. So they're not easy to make. I think we all kind of know that. It's a little, if you don't know what, it kind of looks like a little sandwich cookie that's really like an almond flour meringue-based little cookie. And in between, there was some creme mousseline. So, you know, these are really good and they're difficult to make. So I was so excited about this class. I'm like, oh, I really want this challenge. I want to learn how to do this. And, you know, you weigh out all your ingredients in advance. And I haven't done a class since, I would say like last December. Yeah, beginning of December. So I was like really excited about this. So I had all my ingredients weighed out and I made a critical mistake in the beginning. I combined two things together that I shouldn't have, and I only had that amount in the cabinet. Like, I couldn't remake it because I was out of powdered sugar.
Ooh.
Right? Oh, so I always try to have enough ingredients where if I screw something up, like, that is real life, guys. When you see Great British Bake Off and they're like, oh my God, this isn't working, I have to make it over. Yeah, that happens to me pretty much every other class, but I didn't this time. I took a risk, and the minute I dumped those ingredients together, I'm like, oh great, I misunderstood what he said. And then that wasn't that bad. I could have gotten past that, but then there was another step where I had to take egg whites and make them into a meringue and beat them. And I combined all of my almond flour within it first so that it never would have been able to get up to the... So I went down to MC during the class and I'm like, he was writing at the time and I'm like, well, I have to stop. It was like 15 minutes in, you guys, of a 2-hour class. I'm like, well, I screwed up. I got to stop now. I'll just have to watch the video later and just do it again. And so he's like, what? And then I'm like, well, I did this and that. And he goes, I'll just go to the store for you. What do you need? And so he is the MVP of baking. Aww. He went to the store, bought me new ingredients so that I could catch up. Now, I didn't finish them in the time, but I was really sad because I'm a perfectionist. And when you critically screw something up where you're like, well, I just wasted this amount of money, you know, you just aren't going to have the same experience. And so... it was just one of those things that, you know, and I feel like I'm going to cry, but I'm like, I just kind of sit there and then they're trying to check in with everybody and they're like, how are you doing, Dawn? I'm like, oh, it's okay. I'll just do it when I get the video. I screwed up. And they're like, and they're like so disappointed. But anyway, so I did
catch
up.
Is it weird to just sit there and watch and like ogle them?
It is weird because everybody else is, you know, there. It's just sad. You feel like you're at an amusement park and you can't get on the roller coaster and everybody's having fun.
Except you.
Yeah.
That's not the analogy I was going to use, but let's go with that. Yeah.
No, it was, and the teacher's really fun and great. Dan Beasley Harling is his name. He was, I can't remember which season he was on. He's a great teacher. But yeah, I ended up making them and they're kind of weird. I didn't put enough food coloring, so they don't look as pretty as I would have liked. And they're supposed to be hearts. And I'm like, screw it. I'm just making circles. That is too advanced. And most of the people in the class just made circles because it is difficult to get the right shape and everything. And for your first time, he's like, don't worry about it. Just, you know, make circles if you want to. So. But they taste really good. That's the great thing about them.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. They taste good.
Another thing I want to say about MC is that he got me gifts and a couple dozen roses. Yeah, I walked by those in the morning 3 times before I saw them. I seriously, he's standing there kind of like maybe waiting for my reaction. I go in, I'm like, okay, I got to get everything ready for my class later, blah, blah, blah. I make some tea. I'm like, what are you going to eat? You know, all this stuff. Go back in the bedroom, change my clothes. I mean, 3 times. Oh, I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
This, you know, this segment is actually all about MC. It really is. Because first of all, if that would have happened in my home where the roommate would have screwed up, I would have said, boy, are you dumb? And then I would have gone back to whatever I was doing.
Oh my
He drops everything and runs to the store. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
What a good guy.
Would you have in the beginning of your relationship, though, Kenny? Or is it has it always been that way?
And then he bought you roses, which I think I did that after our very first accidental date. And that was probably the last time, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Poor Dawn. But you know what? That's the positive, though, that you can take out of it is it's reinforcing what you already knew and that you have a great guy.
Yeah, he is a great guy. He really is. I got him a cameo and a bidet.
Oh, cameo from who?
Wait a minute. You got Dawn, how dare you do that? Now we have to go. Dare you, woman? How dare you, lady? You drop something like that, and then we have to go to a commercial. Okay.
What a tease. Let's come back with that, guys.
Thank you. Yes. A commode and a cameo starring Dawn McClain when we return back after this. We are wrapping up our Hey Good Looking, What You Got Cooking with Dawn McClain today, talking about bidets and cameos. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, you said that right before we went to the break that you gave man friend.
Yeah. What do you want to know about, the cameo or the bidet?
Well, I think I speak for the audience, both.
Oh, okay.
You got him a bidet?
Yeah. I mean, it's a bidet for me, too. It's not like it's kind of a present for both of us. It's just an attachable bidet thing that you can put on your toilet. Great, right? I mean, that's when you really love someone. You give them a bidet.
Yeah. How many times have you used it already?
Oh, well, it arrives today. That's what sucks. Oh. I wanted the one that was the spa version that actually was warm water instead of just a cold blast.
Oh, that's better. Way better.
Oh. Had to pay
at
a little extra.
At the car wash.
That's the one that was sold out on the website for a couple months, but I finally got one. It just didn't, I had to put a little note in his card.
Bidet's coming, honey.
Yeah.
I might have to invest in this. I love that. That's the gift that keeps on giving. And then the cameo. Whose cameo? What cameo did you buy for him?
Okay, so he's playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla right now, which is unbelievable. You can go to my Twitter and see a trailer of Assassin's Creed Valhalla if you want to see. If you're not a gamer and you're like, why do people play games so much? It's very cinematic. Games aren't what they used to be. Some of the stories are better than movies I've seen. A lot of them. So his name is Magnus. The guy's name is Magnus Brun. And he is a Danish guy who plays a big Viking, like the lead character. And he is awesome. He's so nice.
Are his cameos in character or is he the man?
No, he's the man. I would play it, but I don't have permission to play it on the radio. You know, I didn't ask him permission. But he says, this is Magnus Brun from Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And he was cool. MC, I watch him. I love this game. I watch him play it every day. And he has already spent, he's probably halfway through, he's spent 110 hours so far.
What?
Oh, wow.
So you feel like you already, this is an Xbox Series X game. It's really looks awesome on this new system. And so anyway, the guy was really fun, really nice. I let him know. You know, you can put a little message in there that says, you know, I'm like, my boyfriend played in 2020 38 games to completion. He's a real gamer, and he's already invested 110 hours in your game, you know.
Oh,
so
wow.
He was really nice. He spent a lot of time, you know, and he looks like a big Viking. That's what's so exciting, too, is that the dude looks
the part.
Oh my gosh. And he's Danish, so you know, it's like
what a great gift. What a thoughtful gift. And if you guys don't know what Cameo, it's a app you can buy greetings, video messages from stars of everything, video games, reality shows, movies, sports, porn. I don't know. I'm sure there's some.
There's RuPaul's Drag Race people on there.
I knew that would get your attention, Kenny. I knew that would wake you up. Yeah, RuPaul's Drag Race is on there.
Oh, everybody. These, I mean, it's
people
crazy.
Make a lot of money, girl. Oh, they make a lot of money off cameos, which is a whole thing. Ugh. Anyway, 6:35. Well, speaking of RuPaul, let's do a TV taste test. We all watch RuPaul's Drag Race. Kenny, if you want to take a short nap, we'll come back to you later. I have mad observations.
What you got?
You know, I'll start off this time. First, I do not. Spoiler alert, everybody. Spoiler alert for RuPaul's Drag Race. Sorry, we have to talk about it. I totally agree with who went home. And again, spoiler alert. I'll give everybody a second. Okay. Sorry, Lala Ri. It was time. I mean, a couple missteps. I wasn't sad. I wasn't sad to see her leave. My second observation, and here's my big one, is now I'm fully on the Simone train. Alexis is right. Write that down that I said that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I am now turned against Olivia Lux.
I feel that way a little bit too. Explain.
I think, and my talkers, she is someone that I think comes across. She's kind of the Valentina. She's the where everybody thinks that she's very sweet and she's very nice, but there is a ribbon of diva and two-facedness that I think is coming out and was identified by Tina Burner, who I don't love, but I think Tina was watching her maneuver, and I get this as a game, but Olivia, I have a bad taste in my mouth now for Olivia Lux. She now joins Candy Muse and Got Mick, which I know people love Got Mick, but I want Got Mick to go home. I want Candy to go home, and now I want Olivia Lux to go home. And Tina Burner. But anyway, Lux.
Yeah, just crown Simone already. Mm-hmm. Honestly, she is the bright shining star of this season. I love her so much. When she came out, she was so perfect for improv. She made everyone feel at ease. Even Ross said that. She came up, so basically it was Bossy Rossi. He has this talk show and has like kind of trashy guests on, and you know, basically just these really funny scenarios, and they just had a shell of who they were supposed to be, and then they're improvising, and their whole skit was hilarious because it was Simone. I can't remember who was in her scene with her. Do you guys remember?
Candy.
It was Candy.
Yeah, so it was basically like a take on the simple life, what happened after.
Right. They were, 80s stars that, you know, where are they now, basically? And she played Debbie, or Deb, and she's like, I'm now Deborah. Just to come up with that. It's just so easy for her. Not only is she beautiful and fun, but I just... And then she came out with this beaded outfit at the end. Beads were the category for the last runway. Oh my gosh, that was just their pony beads that she wove together and made this absolutely beautiful, like, breastplate, African looking gorgeous. Oh,
I don't
she
speak.
She is amazing.
I don't speak craft. So what's a pony bead for all of us?
It's a bigger plastic bead with a bigger hole in it. When you see girls with beads in their hair, it's usually a pony bead.
Got it. Okay.
So to take those and to make something amazing like that.
Well, and on that too, with the challenge, since you brought up the challenge with Ross Matthews hosting a fake talk show, the person that stumbled that I didn't think was going to stumble was our girl Utica. She had a real rough time.
I have to acknowledge
this was not hers. Yeah, Dawn, what did you think?
Oh yeah, I'm feeling a little nervous about Utica being in the bottom so many times. I do think I hope that she has taken the note and really has heard that super overly goofy thing that she does isn't really working for her, and that she needs to try to evolve. I feel like she does that to protect herself because she doesn't feel it's like a crutch, you know, like I got a great gift from an acting teacher once that said, why do you keep doing that thing with your face? You just don't know. You're not doing it. You just like keep using the same little funny little, you know, pratfall or whatever you're doing. And it's a great lesson to hear. It's distracting and you keep doing it over and over. So stop it. You know what I mean? I hope that somebody has, we maybe haven't seen her get those critiques. We've heard it a little bit, but she really does need to break away from that. And I, you know, Olivia, I'm feeling, I don't know, like, not so enthusiastic about her anymore. And I'm sorry. I'm so tired of those girls that are safe and they're like, I can't believe I didn't win.
Okay.
I am tired of that.
Did that happen this time?
Yes.
I didn't watch Untucked this time.
Denali was like this big chandelier and she was like so mad that she didn't win.
That's been done so many times before.
Oh my gosh, right. And so, and Rosé, you know, I did not like her at all in the beginning. I've kind of warmed up to her.
I was
really surprised and happy that finally, like, Tina Burner got to know Elliot with two T's, whatever you think about her.
Yes, I'm with you, Dawn.
But I really do feel for Elliot with two T's because no matter what she says,
nobody likes
people
her.
Don't like her, and they really do bully her, and that's very hurtful, and especially when this is your big moment on the show, and the whole thing is you having a weird, awkward experience all the time. I mean, I don't know. Just try to reach out to her, and I'm so glad Tina Burner turned a corner with that.
I'm so glad that you said that, Dawn, because I am simultaneously, and maybe I'll talk about this tomorrow. I have some clips that I've pulled, but we're really full today. We don't need it. I'm simultaneously watching RuPaul's Drag Race UK season 2.
Oh.
And the queens there are starting to say that crap of that they're not even happy being saved. And this is a rather new phenomenon, I think, or at least it's new that they start showing. It's like, just be happy. As Simone said, I got to give Simone credit. Even when I wasn't fully on the Simone, Simone was the first one in the cast that put them all in their place and said, I am happy.
We're here.
We are here. I am happy if I'm safe. I don't need to win the individual competitions. I'm here. Like, I don't have to lip sync for my life anyway. I have strong observations about UK.
I can't wait for Elliot
UK.
With two T's to have a redemption. Already there was that mini challenge that she won, but I can just kind of feel like there's going to be a dance competition or something, a challenge that she's going to really shine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, they already know she's a great dancer, so.
Oh, right.
We have more it's hard to say. I didn't realize. TV taste tests throughout the show, including WandaVision. And I watched the true crime documentary on Netflix about the Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles. Dawn thought about you a lot.
I was wondering if that was any good, geez.
I have strong thoughts. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But next, a lot of drama, but also some good news. Dawn has dish on good news for Harry and Meghan. And then we'll get into the Justin Timberlake. You know, we were off the air when the Timberlake apology happened. We'll talk about all of that when we come back. On a summer evening. Let's start with good news. Welcome back, Jason and Alexis in the morning. And then we'll get into our thoughts on Timberlake's apology and subsequent Janet Jackson news. Dawn, Harry and Meghan, good news for a Monday morning.
Yes, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, they're expecting their second child together. They announced that yesterday on Valentine's Day.
Aww.
Yes. So Archie, believe it or not, their son, he's going to turn 2 on May 6th. That's just unbelievable.
That's hard
to me.
Wow.
It feels like he was just born, doesn't it?
Well, exactly.
It feels like they just got married. I can remember doing that live event with Lori and Julia for my talk in the Twin Cities live studio.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem like that long ago.
We did that.
Yeah, that was a disaster. But anyway, back to you, Dawn.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Disaster.
So, Meghan actually revealed that she suffered a miscarriage last July. And she said losing a child means carrying an almost unbearable grief experienced by many but talked about by few. And she wrote that in honest New York Times essay on November 25th, in case you missed that. So, you know, they just, this is a great step forward in them, you know, wanting to be just normal people. They'll never be normal people.
No.
But now that they have broken away and made that huge move, it's very brave. At first, I was like, oh, come on, get over yourselves. Nobody has that privilege that you have, except for you and your family and the whole world, and you're just going to give it up. But then when you see how they don't really have very much freedom in their life, you know, however the crown is fictionalized, you still, I do believe the core of it is true, is that everything is very controlled, and they don't have the ability to just, as human beings, be themselves and achieve their own dreams. It's all about duty to this position that they were born into. And he's like, I'm, you know, 10th in line for the crown. Who cares?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Paula Deen will be king or queen before Harry.
Exactly. Yeah.
Booter and oil.
Right. So, anyway.
Okay. Justin Timberlake's apology.
I knew it was coming, guys.
I knew
it,
too.
I'm surprised he did, really.
You are?
He couldn't help himself.
Yeah. But I don't know.
What's the but, though, Dawn? What do you think?
I think that if he didn't have all this pressure of his image being tarnished, he wouldn't apologize.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's kind of like, you read it and you're like, wow, that's thought out. And I think he pretty much had somebody else write it for him. I'm just assuming it's like, hey, can you take care of this? You know, it's just like, it's just so controlled, like a public statement. It's just so perfect in so many ways, like a presidential speech. So, you know, you're like, all right, do you really care? I don't believe he does.
Lulu?
I believe he's saving face.
Lexa, Lulu.
I wouldn't say it's that calculated. I do think that he feels that he needs to do some, like, damage control for his image, for sure. Because he does have that, squeaky clean image. I mean, it's been broken down now, how many years now, with different things, with the pictures and the, you know, hand on the knee of the other woman and apologizing to his wife. And so I think he is having moments, as many people are, of going back and going, wow, that wasn't really right. So I don't know. He probably had someone help him write it for sure. But I think a lot of people are having second thoughts about their behavior in the past, which is what we can all hope for.
That's how
I feel. It's like in between, maybe, of the completely genuine. And
I don't know where I'm landing with now. I'm way more clear about JT because I'm a little more on the side, not a little more. I'm a lot more on the side of, boy, I sure wish he would have moved heaven and earth before a scandal made him do it, to apologize to these women and do the work. You know, because in all of these statements, you hear the statement of, I'm going to do the work to make, well, what is that exactly? You know, I want to be better. What is that exactly? I wish he would have spent 2004, you know what I mean? Or what I wish he would, I wish it wouldn't have taken him a scandal for him to have apologized correctly. But then there's another side of me that wonders, and it's a much bigger conversation, and it's a conversation like I know people are having with Letterman, who I love and admire as a broadcaster. What do we want from these guys?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, what do we just, I mean, should they just be put in the, and I know a lot of you will be nodding your head and say yes. My bigger question is, and please don't mistake my questioning this for defending Justin. I am not. As I said moments ago, he should have apologized when it wasn't convenient for him to apologize, or when it wasn't going to be major news. That would have been more genuine. But what
culturally,
do we?
Culturally, there's been a shift.
There is a shift, but what should we do with these guys? Should they just be automatically put into the dustbin of pop culture? Should they not even try to apologize? My question
I'm
is
I'm glad
like,
that he said something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People are going
it's one
oh,
step toward yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah, I mean you may not still like him after the apology, but the whole thing of like what oh, you know, we're done with him. And questioning the apology itself, my big question to the Timberlakes and ends, what do we really want from these people? And number two, I think there is a lack, and I'm going to say this, I think there is a lack of nuance with some of these proclamations about these performers that are now having to deal with their past performances or lines they may have said, especially comedians. I think there's a level of nuance that is missing. We're painting everybody with a broad brush, mm-hmm. and I don't think that's fair. I think there are nuanced conversations with some of these people. I'm not saying that's
well,
Justin.
Everyone was complicit in what happened then too. I mean, I think that that's part of it. He was allowed to take over the narrative and say, you know, it was a wardrobe malfunction, or she cheated on me, and here's my song, Cry Me a River, Britney. And that was allowed. So it's not all on him.
Yeah, I want to know the other people that kind of forced him, but were complicit, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's just a bigger conversation, and especially I think it's really nuanced when it comes to Dave for the reasons I pointed out on Friday. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Dave.